From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns begins his seventh message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Full Atonement. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Guardian of the Fatherless. The text is Hosea 14 and verse 3. In thee the fatherless find mercy. This is an excellent reason for casting away all other confidences and relying upon the Lord alone. When a child is left without its natural protector, our God steps in and becomes his guardian. So also, when a man has lost every object of dependence, he may cast himself upon the living God and find in him all that he needs. Orphans are cast upon the fatherhood of God, and he provides for them. The writer of these pages knows what it is to hang on the bare arm of God, and he bears his willing witness that no trust is so well warranted by facts or so sure to be rewarded by results as trust in the invisible but ever-living God. Some children who have fathers are not much the better off because of them, but the fatherless with God are rich. Better have God and no other friend than all the patrons on the earth and no God. To be bereaved of the creature is painful, but so long as the Lord remains the fountain of mercy to us, we are not truly orphaned. Let fatherless children plead the gracious word for today, and let all who have been bereaved of visible support do the same. Lord, let me find mercy in thee. The more needy and helpless I am, the more confidently do I appeal to thy loving heart.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Song shall ever be.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. In this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In this verse we come to the heart of the gospel message, the atonement which the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross. Dr. Cairns will call attention to three elements presented in the verse. First, there are the straying sheep. Then the focus turns to the stubborn sinners. Finally, we'll see various aspects of the atonement. To begin, Dr. Cairns shows how sinners are like sheep, going astray because it is their nature to do so. Now, with the introduction to a message entitled Full Atonement, Here is Dr. Cairns.
Our text this morning is found back in Isaiah 53. We have been for some weeks now going slowly, verse by verse, through this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And verse 6 is the verse I want to leave with you this morning. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The heart of Christianity is the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, apart from this, there is no gospel whatsoever. Every God-ordained minister and ministry will always make much of the vicarious suffering and atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Every ministry ordained of God and blessed of God will always paint sin in all its blackness, and then will point to Christ and his substitutionary work at Calvary's cross as the only means God has ordained of removing sin. Now that's the heart of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Again, the Apostle says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He put it even more pointedly two verses earlier in Romans 5, verse 6, when he said, Christ died for the ungodly. We read this morning how that he suffered for us. In the next chapter of 1 Peter again we read, he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is just a little sprinkling of texts from a great body of biblical evidence that Christ died the death of a substitute, that Christ took the place of his people literally upon the cross, and there paid the price of their redemption, purchasing for them an eternal salvation, a perfect pardon, a peace with God, reconciliation with their Maker, justification whereby not only are they pardoned, but they are made righteous legally at the judgment bar of God. They are adopted through his blood into the very family of God and are assured of a place with him for all eternity. That is the heart of the gospel. In fact, it is essentially the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ever since the beginning of time, we discover in Scripture that the devil and his minions have hated this gospel. They have made every onslaught upon it. They have used atheism. It's very significant that that attack has largely petered out. It was once thought that the more men learned, the greater their educational exposure, the greater their scientific achievement, that the stronger their atheism would be. I was reading the first-hand account of one of the first American astronauts ever to stand on the moon. And he said, as we went there, and as we stood on the moon, and we looked back and saw the Earth like a marble in space, we were overwhelmed with a sense of God. We were overwhelmed with the reality of God. Atheism has largely, as a strident opposition to the gospel, had to peter out because, as the Scripture says, only a fool will say in his heart, there is no God. Then again, philosophy was used. There is a great list of philosophers who, generation after generation, have sought to recreate God in the image of man. They have sought to divest our God of his transcendent glory. They have sought to dethrone Christ from his position as God incarnate and the only Savior of man. This philosophy has become, in many cases, a theology. It has come right into the church, and it is sought in one way or another to assure men that they are their own saviors, that they are captains of their own destiny, that they have their own eternity in their hand. This takes many, many different forms, but you can always tell the devil's perversion of the gospel. It denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ in one way or another. It denies that salvation is only through a Redeemer, and that that Redeemer is solely the person of Jesus Christ. It denies that salvation must come entirely from outside of man, and it tells men that though Christ was a great man, he was only their example as to how they are to form their own character and strive after their own salvation. And by some emulation of his character, they will save their own souls. Such gospels are not worthy of the name. They are perversions of the gospel of grace. Deliberate and diabolical falsifications of the plain statements of the saving message of God's holy word. They preach a false Christ. They extend to man a false hope. And they're all part of the devil's great effort to beguile unstable souls to their own eternal destruction. You ought always to remember the order of things that we read this morning in 1 Peter 2. Christ suffered and then became our example. Before he can be our example, he must be our expiation. Before he can be a pattern to us, he must be what the Bible calls a propitiation to God. Before he can be a pattern for life, he must put away the wrath of God by the shedding of his own precious blood. Now this is all made very clear in the words of our text this morning. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that is Christ, the iniquity of us all. The text is dealing purely and simply with full atonement. As I look at the text, there are three very, very simple things that I would point out to you. It speaks of the straying sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. It then becomes very particular, and it descends from the all to the each. It descends from the vast company to the individual. We have turned everyone, or each man has turned to his own way. That is the stubborn sinner. And then finally, we have this amazing statement, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is dealing with the sin-bearing substitute. Those are the three great themes that the prophet uses here as he expounds full atonement. The straying sheep. If you look at your Bible carefully, you'll see the word all is at the beginning of the verse and the word all is at the end of the verse. This is one of the few occasions when it's possible to reproduce in an English translation, even down to the exact order of words that you have in the original scriptures. The greatest work on figures of speech in the Bible is by a man called E.W. Bullinger. And he has a long name, which I'll not bother you with this morning, for this particular figure of speech. It means encircling, in which the Spirit of God is careful to use a word to start a verse or a statement and the same word to finish that statement, thereby encircling all that is within the statement as something for special attention. This is a verse that calls for special attention. As it speaks of the straying sheep, we need especially to give it our attention. You'll notice that the text is really in two parts. There are two alls. All have gone astray. And then the all are atoned for. Now I would put it to you that you couldn't honestly understand this verse of Scripture without seeing that the two alls refer to exactly the same people. All we like sheep have gone astray. And then the Lord hath laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. It is very important that we would understand who these people are, who the we are in this text. You see, there are people who will come to it. I was reading one of the greatest of all English expositors. You'll pay a few hundred dollars if you want to go and get the collection of his expositions. His name stands very high among Orthodox preachers, and he commanded great crowds when he preached in England. When he comes to this text, he says, in effect, it is possible for all your sins to have been laid on Jesus, and yet for those sins to cling to you, and you still have to pay for them. You know, I began to wonder, what kind of a gospel is that to give to poor sinners? That your sins could be laid on Jesus, and yet you still have to bear the rod yourself. You still have to bear the punishment for your own sins. And it's because he's not understanding or paying particular attention to the force of all we, who the people are here. The Bible does not teach universal salvation. It doesn't say that everybody's saved. That's a very popular notion that somehow, someday, the God of love will bring us all to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible speaks of those on his right hand and those on his left hand. The Bible speaks of those who go into everlasting life. The Bible speaks of those who go out into outer darkness. The Bible speaks of the saints who shine in glory with Christ, and it speaks of those who moan in the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. It does not hold out the figment of universal salvation. And therefore, it does not teach the figment of universal redemption. It is nonsense to say that Christ could bear all your sins, and yet you could end up bearing those sins and their punishment for all eternity. If you look carefully at the text, you'll see that the speakers here are a peculiar class of people. First of all, they are penitent people. This is the language of confession. These people are confessing their sin. Not only that, but this is the language of conversion. These are people, if you look at verse 4, they are saying, there was a time when we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. There was a time when we looked at Christ and we said he was justly condemned. Go back to verse 3. There was a time when we hid our faces from Christ. But now in verse 6, what are they saying? They're saying, we went astray. That's confession. We turned everyone to his own way. That's confession. The Lord has laid on Christ our iniquity. That is the language of faith, the language of dependence on Christ. These then are confessors, and they are converted people. And they are saying, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now it is true that all men have gone astray. It is true that all men are sinners. But it is not true that all men have Christ as their sin bearer. It is the peculiar aim of this text to teach that there is a people on this earth who confess that they went astray, who confess that Christ is their only hope of forgiveness salvation and acceptance with God. This verse then addresses these penitent. They are in the verse looked on as the flock of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.